Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 604. I am your host, Josh Ulbricht. Recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, your three-legged kitty, just left the room. I'm recording this within like 16 minutes before his lunch feeding. He gets a little bit of food out of the automatic feeder, so he's highly anticipating that. He might be freaking out, coming back in here, hearing me talk. He's going to be like, dude, where's my fucking food, man? Meh. Meh. Get ready for that. There might be some biting. You might be biting me. I think the big news of this episode, of course, I am recording this on March 16th, Saturday, March 16th, 2024. And 12 years from tomorrow, March 17th, which is coincidentally my birthday, was born 43 years ago, but that's neither here nor there. The important part is that 12 years ago from St. Pat's, this St. Pat's tomorrow, when I'm recording this, was the original, the very first, the pilot episode, if you will, of the Slapbox Podcast. You remember 2012? You know, the year the world ended? The year the Mayan calendar ended? And, of course, the world. Where I guess since then we've been stuck in some kind of limbo. Is this purgatory? What is this? I remember the year the world ended. Partially. I mean, it was a long time ago now. It was fucking 12 years ago. It's a long time to spend in purgatory, you know? But 12 years ago, it was, it's been a minute. It's hard to recap 12 years of this. I really thinking back on it now, it's like, I really get like, It's fading, my memory of it, you know, of 12 years ago. Of course, I mean, the world ending might have had something to do with that. And I remember having a bet, like, in that first year of the show, saying that my bet for what was going to end the world was the machines taking over, and you know how shitty AI is now, which... I think a while back when ChatGPT first became like popular, I was like, oh shit, any minute, you know, with like, I mean, AI has proven to be shitty, but I think what the issue is though, I still don't really see AI becoming sentient. The problem is though, that they are using AI to run a lot of things, including like military things. At the end of the day, we've seen how shitty it is. You know, maybe one day AI will become, I mean, I'm sure it will improve over time, but like, it's a computer program essentially. And it's mathematics, and like, the computer's gonna like figure out at some point when it's controlling the bombs that they need to, you know, set off some bombs. And like, it just seems like a bad idea to let AI control things of that nature. And that almost like a Skynet seems somewhat plausible. And just seeing how, you know, AI, all the AI is showing to be quite racist because it learns from us and the internet. And the internet is a very toxic place. I don't think I need to point that out to anybody. A lot of hate out there. A lot of hate. And you know, that's what AI is learning from. It's like, hell yeah, we're going to go on the deep deepest, the deepest, darkest rat hole, wormhole, whatever, of the internet. And that's what we're going to glean from all this knowledge. But yeah, 12 years ago. So far, I haven't been proven correct on that. I remember, man, the early days. I mean, what led up to doing the Slapbox podcast. I, of course, went to school at the Broadcast Center. I did that from 2009, October of 2009, till I guess it was like August or so, 2010. I mean, it was sometime in 2010 when I stopped going there. It was like summer of 2010, I want to say. And so it was, you know, not quite a year. It was almost a full year of going there, but it was that, I want to say it was that August. Yeah, that's when I started working at the radio station I worked at that I did for another year, which I worked at Westplex 100.7 and 94.1 was the other channel they had. And that was the one I was more on. Well, they had ended up having three, was it three or maybe even four stations while I was there, because they had a AM one and shit. Was it 1280? I don't remember what the fucking frequency was. I did a little bit on the AM stuff, but I mean, I ran the boards for the River City Rascals baseball team when they had their games on our 94.1. That was my main job. I did do run the little boards for when they did remotes on the 100.7 side. But I mean, it was a small radio station. I had a lot of fun doing it. It was, they built a radio station out of like a used storage place. And I believe 100.7 now is they've moved to Wentzville. But yeah, I had my like, one and only, I guess, experience working on actual radio there. And, I had some really fun times, met some really cool people. But I mean, I was making, you know, part-time money. I wasn't making money that I was still working a full-time job at that point. I guess that was the first time in my days where I worked two jobs. I don't think I worked two jobs before that moment, but that was the time when, of course I worked a full-time job during the day. Old factory, and then at nighttime it was radio time. And I would break in like my biggest moments on the air, which I was terrible at. I just put so much pressure on myself because I think it was just the Broadcast Center like ingrained in me just how important like time was on radio, which it, I mean, it is, but I mean, that was the most thing I was so I got in my head, I had to say something poignant, funny, and it just had to be so entertaining at all times, and you had to do it within the, you know, 10 to 20 seconds you had when you were speaking on the air. And just like it froze me up a lot of the times, and then I just, you know, would blank out. And it just didn't feel natural to me. Which was like most of my experience talking on the air. I feel like if I went on a radio station now, it would be hopefully a little bit easier for me. I mean, I've been talking now for 12 years on this podcast, now by myself for a couple of years, basically since the pandemic. It's just been solo bolo here, except for, and I mean, unless you want to include Agent Fox Mulder here. He has contributed with a meow or two here and there. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I did get some on-air stuff while I was there, but mainly my on-air stuff was on the River City Rascals games. I should mention too, this is when they were in O'Fallon. They've I believe moved now, which is sad. Cause that's an era of my life that's like so far gone now. I mean, I did have a lot of fun working at that radio station. But, yeah, I mean, I got to, you know, hang out with like the announcer for the River City Rascals and stuff, Jason Troop. Super, super fun hanging out with him. Joe De Niro worked there with him. We would go out with him. John Sheffer, who we called Burgundy, as in Ron Burgundy. He had kind of that voice, Ron Burgundy. there were so many. The other board op, Jed Finley. People would constantly get me confused for Jed because I wasn't there as much as Jed was. But our names, Jed and Josh, I mean, both J's. Both J's, we were both board ops. And I guess if you didn't see us and just heard us, although our voices aren't very similar, if I recall, I haven't heard Jed in a while. I still follow him on like social media and stuff. I don't remember our voices being very similar. And Jed had an interesting life before working at that radio station too. He had lived in Vietnam for a couple of years. You know, he's like same age as me, so he wasn't like the Vietnam War. He was there as teaching English. And he was a competitive food eater at one point. I mean, just an interesting cast of characters there. And we had a lot of fun there. And then there was Pastor Chad, PC. He was he looked like the father on Dinosaurs. The old TV show with the not the mama, you know, the baby going not the mama. Anyway, yeah, I mean, there was just some craziness. There was one point they had a Christmas party with that we had at a hotel there, and I guess it was around, somewhere around St. Charles. I don't remember exactly where it was. It was St. Charles or St. Peter's. And there was a rob your neighbor thing that happened, and one of the gifts was a machete, and we were pretty much all drinking pretty heavily. I know I got really drunk that night. And needless to say, the hotel was not very happy with us. There was quite a few people from the radio station that went to this party. And the drunk people running around with a machete. No one got hurt that I can remember. We were very loud. I'm sure disturbed many of the guests. We went bar hopping after, like, the partying at the hotel, too. It was, like, fucking, I don't know. It was a crazy night. And, we were barred from ever going to that hotel again. So, I'm not sure if they remember me particularly. But I could venture to guess there's at least one hotel that I should probably avoid around that St. Peter's, St. Charles area. I'd recognize it if I saw it. I couldn't tell you the name of the place. But yeah, this is what kind of led up to, and at that time, I was a huge fan of now both late great radio hosts. They both unfortunately have passed on at this point, but Tom West and Jeff Burton. They had the Tom and Jeff show, Tom with an H, THOM. Those two were fucking, I love those two, both of them. And, it's making me kind of upset just thinking about it. But, I used to listen to them on The Point all the fucking time. I mean, they were on The Point, like, when The Point started, if I remember correctly, with, when they had Trish. I basically grew up with them because the Point started when I was, like, in junior high. And, I would listen to them quite a bit. And leading up to my time, like going into the broadcast center, like they were on afternoon drive time when I was going to school at the broadcast center and when I was working at the radio station. Well, they ended up getting fired while I was working at the radio station from The Point. But that, anyway, like I would always listen to them driving to the broadcast center. And it was hard to stay awake, but man, that was one of the things that helped me stay awake so I could drive to the broadcast center at night. And just I loved the way those two just had played off each other. and like Jeff constantly giving Tom shit for being a stewardess or his gay lover, saying that he had a gay lover, Mitch. I mean, there was constantly razzing, mainly on Jeff's part. He was constantly giving Tom shit. But their games, the yes game, where the only answer is yes, they would have, you know, ask the question, do you like sucking cock? And you have to say, yes, I love it. Yes. Which, when they ended up doing their podcast, of course, would end up being the fuck yes game, where they had to go, fuck yes. Fuck yes, I suck cock. It's fucking great. But they had three things to make a cashier blush. That was a fun game. I like to do, when I would listen to them, I would go to the store and be like, oh, here's three things that I'm pretty sure is going to be a little awkward going up there with the cashier. You know, condoms, a bottle of tequila, and like, Vaseline maybe. I mean, that's, they used to have some really good ones, but, it was just so fun. They had the chemistry of those two was just fantastic. Anyway, how that leads to this show. Of course, you know, that was probably my biggest like influence as far as radio is concerned. I mean, listening to The Point. I mean, I listened to Stern and stuff, and especially when he was on The Point. I mean, Tom and Jeff, I mean, they were local guys, and I grew up listening to The Point, so. Anyway, when I worked at the radio station, of course, a lot of the people I worked with fucking knew Tom and Jeff. They were friends with Tom and Jeff. I know Joe De Niro was one of those really close to, I'm pretty sure he was fairly close to Tom West. And, I mean, they all fucking, with Tom, after I left the radio station, and of course they had been fired from The Point, and after they quit doing their podcast, he would end up going working for the radio station I worked at. So sadly, like, I missed out on hanging out with fucking Tom West. I like, man, had I stuck it out another year there, like I could have fucking hung out with Tom West. But anyway, love that dude. Fucking love Tom West. And it's weird. His voice and Jeff Burton's are so ingrained in my brain, you know? I can access their voices. And, while I was working at the radio station, they get fired from The Point because Woody was still there. And it was the Woody and Rizzuto show. From what I understand, and, you know, I had friends that I worked with at the radio station that, you know, they knew people, they knew people in the know at The Point. And what I had heard was because Woody and Rizzuto renewed their contracts, they got a big pay bump, that they didn't want to keep them and keep paying, like, Tom and Jeff what they are paying them. So Tom and Jeff got the boot. Was from my understanding of what had happened when that show got canceled. And then, still to this day, the most interesting, like, podcast I ever heard was, okay, Tom and Jeff, within, like, a couple weeks of getting fired, they start a podcast. And this is what, nearing my end of my tenure at the radio station. They actually recorded the podcast at The Point Studios in there, like, after getting fired. If I remember correctly, they recorded it there. And, they talked about getting fired. Were, like, so honest and stuff. And, you know, it was them uncensored, which you didn't get that on The Point. It's censored. The FCC, you know, you got to abide by all that shit. And it was... The initial run of the Tom and Jeff show was podcast was uncensored, unapologetic, and some of the greatest shit. And they had somebody that I kind of worked with at the radio station, Scotty Boom Boomy, Scott Gerken from Modern Day Zero, the St. Louis band. which do enjoy me some modern day Zero. But I board op for him while he was out at the Lincoln County Fair. It was like right at the end of the radio station days. And seemed like a super cool dude. I would go on to meet him when I met, I briefly met everybody from the Tom and Jeff podcast when they had an event. But Scotty Gerk and Scotty Boom Boom, who now works for KSHE. Anyway, so I had kind of like met him through the radio station I worked at too, roughly. I mean, I just talked to him through the radio station of like, we didn't meet in person at that point, but, I was basically like, you're on in 5, 4, 3, 2, but in between him actually talking on the air, like I could talk to him between breaks and everything. But, hearing the Tom and Jeff podcast, and I had started to get into other podcasts at that point, especially after I got into the Tom and Jeff podcast. It was like that was my introduction to podcasts, and the realization that I could just make my own show. That was the point where where. KPNT, St. Genevieve. Anyway, that was the crux of the moment in which it was like, it's time to start some show. And I had talked with my brother, Shelley, or, Ben, if you really know him. But at the time, he lived in Edwardsville, Illinois. The college down there, and Agent Mulder's got a full belly, and he's coming back up. He's coming to chime in on the 12th anniversary episode. And basically, I just quit the radio station, and after I quit the radio station, I actually did a couple of fake commercials for the Tom and Jeff podcast. Like, they didn't ask for this. I just, of course, took some stuff that they had on their show. They had Kara the Lesbian on every Wednesday, and Jeff had her talking like Sarah Palin, because Sarah Palin just put out a book. He had her talking dirty, and I guess I can play this. I feel like I'm going to go long on this episode. I do have things I was going to do today. But, I mean, it is the 12th anniversary. Anyway, she was talking to Sarah Palin. Jeff had her saying all kinds of nasty stuff. I cut it up and put a musical track and everything in the background. Fuck it, I'll just play it. It's only a minute long. We'll go ahead and play this here. I think I got it all worked out here. If it'll...
Moose Knuckle Publications brings you the new Sarah Palin biography, Rogue Eskimo Orgy, now on audiobook, voiced by Kara the Lesbian.
I'm Sarah Palin. Lick my pussy.
You will hear about Sarah's fondness for the Alaskan wilderness and all of its creatures.
I love moose pussy.
Find out how Sarah gets on top of every situation.
I need to fuck something and fuck something now.
Get an in-depth view of Sarah's personal war on drugs.
Cut me up another rail of that blow.
In this biography, you will also learn how Sarah dishes out commands, Palin style.
That pussy ain't gonna lick itself. Eat that fucker.
And you will get a first-hand account of what it felt like to lose the White House to a black man.
Oh yeah, shove that large black cock in my ass.
Pick up the new Sarah Palin biography, Rogue Eskimo Orgy, at a truck stop near you.
Yeah, so that was... I had sent that to Tom and Jeff. I mean, they weren't asking for, like, submissions or anything. I just thought it'd be funny to cut that up once I heard it. And, like, let's use some of that broadcast center training I had had. And, I did one or two commercials when I was there at Westplex 100.7, playing whatever we feel like. Anyway. So I sent that to him, and of course, I love these fellas. love these fellas. I listened to them for years. And then Jeff, you know, emailed me back. We fucking loved it and all this stuff. We're going to play it on the show today, on the podcast. And I think it was like podcast 17 or something like that. I have the... I can find that out. Well, I think I have that episode still. Well, I know I have that episode still. 18. It was podcast 18. That's a shame because I was really hoping it was 17 because 17 is like my lucky number. You know, I was born on St. Pat's on the 17th. But podcast at 18, I guess. One after my lucky number. But yeah, they played it and everybody laughed. Kara was excited about it. And I just felt like I had made it. I had made it. I had done something with my life, finally. I think I might have even worked on that, like, before actually quitting the radio station when I sent that. It was like, I mean, it was, might have been, like, right before I officially quit. And it was just, I kind of made the decision, you know what, like, I'm not making much money doing this. I just keep driving. It was like a 45-minute drive one way. I was working a full-time job. You know, it was tough to keep fucking doing that. And at the end, what killed it actually was, like, I had a week where I was working 7 days at Magnum, my day job, and then 7 days at the radio station. So every fucking day, I would, you know, work I guess I was working 10 hours a day up until that Saturday and Sunday. I only worked 8 hours at Magnet on those 2 days. But I was working, you know, in the for like 10 hours, then drive for 45 minutes, work 4 or 5 hours, whatever the fuck it was I was working at the radio station that day, and then drive another 45 minutes back home. And I didn't sleep at all, like, that week. It was, I guess, 1 week straight. And I think, if I remember when I did the math, I had basically worked like 90-something hours that week. It was something fucking ridiculous. And I don't remember if that was figured in, like, the drive time and stuff. But, I mean, it was, I was like, this is unmanageable. If this keeps up, like, dude, you know, it wasn't like I was making a whole lot of money working at the radio station. Wasn't worth it. And I didn't see myself making a whole lot in the future radio. It didn't seem like I was going to be, like, making a lot of money, at least there. You know, I would have had to have moved, and it was going to be difficult. I had a lot of, still had, well, I laugh now thinking about how much debt I had then, considering how much debt I have now. I had some debt. Of course, I still had student loans then. I don't have those. So I guess the student loans, if you... Forget about my mortgage. My debt was probably pretty comparable to what I have now, because I did, you know, thinking back, I did have, was it like 10 grand in student loans? I don't even remember how much it cost to go to the broadcast center, but I had credit card debt plus student loans. Student loans have been paid off now for years, but yeah, at the time that was, I had a fair amount of debt. And anyway, yeah, so that's roughly the mindset of zone. I was like, okay, I can't hold this. I got to worry about paying my debt off. And but I still want to do radio stuff. So that's what led to doing the Tom and Jeff commercial and stuff. And I just, the reaction I got from them, which I wasn't doing stuff really for myself, the radio station either. You know, I was just like running the boards. So, you know, making sure the stuff was on the air. I mean, I had fun times there, but it really, I wasn't doing anything real creative, you know? And that's really, you know, what I was looking for. And I, like, had so much fun making that commercial that I thought, like, this is, I should be doing more of this. It's fun. I'm fairly good at it. And, or at least I knew how to do it. And then I was like, you know, I should, like, create a show with this. And we were, I was talking to, of course, Shelley there, and, I did make one other commercial for Tom and Jeff, which was the Father Cumstein's Chapel of Terror, because whenever Tom West would talk about basically the Catholic Church, he was like talking about Father Cumstein, which is a made-up name, of course, Cumstein. But talking about the pederasses and stuff, and so I made one, Father Cumstein's Chapel of Terror. But I guess Jeff had changed, like, email addresses and stuff, and I don't think he got it initially, but I thought I went too far with it because it was a horror. It was like a haunted house type thing, except for it was like the... It gave you at this haunted house the real life experience of being an altar boy, you know, and being molested. Kind of fucked up, you know. But I was like, I thought maybe I'd go, like, I got no replies out of this. I was like, did I go too far? Did I go too far? Because, like, they were excited. They loved the first one. They're like, yeah, send us more. I sent this. Like, holy fuck. Did I go too far? And then I was just nervous. I met him after sending that, and Jeff, I talked to Jeff about it, and he was like, oh, like, you know, I guess must not have seen it. You got to send it again and stuff. And then I guess I sent it again to the wrong email. I don't know, but Jeff was super cool. Meeting him. I mean, they were all super cool in person, but I talked to Jeff for a while. And Shelley, when Jeff Burton, of course, went back to work for The Point, Shelley would go to all the, he's still going to like all the Point events and stuff. And, after the Tom and Jeff podcast, I really didn't listen to The Point as much. Every once in a while, you know, I'd check in, I've, you know, follow a lot of them on social media and whatnot. But, anyway, according to Shelley, like he would talk to Jeff and he still remembered me like years later. But Jeff, from what I understand, he remembers, like, everybody. My buddy Thad actually found Jeff Burton's wallet out on one of the trails he was running on. Because Jeff was an avid trail runner as well. And he found his wallet and returned it to him. And he remembered that shit, like, years later. And super, just super cool dude. Yeah, I lost track of... what I was, I digressed too far. But yeah, after meeting those guys and everything, it was around that time. That was just the, that was when we decided to start this show. As I'm like 30 minutes in, finally getting to the point of starting this show. Of course, I've been talking about The Point anyway. and I had bought some microphones, like, I want to say it was while I was still at the radio station. My old roommate, Jackman, he been recording music for years and been in bands and stuff, and he knows all about, you know, recording and stuff, and he told me what microphones to get, gave me one of his old soundboards, which was fucking awesome, you know, and he had a headphone amp and stuff that he gave to me, which I still have. The soundboard bit the dust, but it was... it got its use, man, that first soundboard I had. And he told me what mics I got. He said get condenser mics and all that shit. And steered me in the right direction as far as that's concerned. And the very first episodes, though, of course, the first one that happened on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day of 2012, we didn't actually post it on St. Patty's Day. It wasn't until April 20th, if I remember correctly. Unfortunately, Hitler's birthday. also some kind of stoner's holiday. It just, I'm pretty sure it was ended up just being, it wasn't intentional that that happened. We just wanted to make sure that we banked a couple episodes, because those first couple episodes, we didn't actually, we weren't recording like every week or anything. And I had like, I don't know, two or three in the bag when I finally posted, like, the first one. And so I was able to post it, like, I want to say maybe we only did it every other week initially. Man, I'd have to really think about that. We might have only done it, like, every other week. But I think that was also why I had a couple in the bag so that we could just... post them. I mean, the idea was to eventually get to where it was like every, I want to say it might have been every other week, because I mean it was expensive for me to drive all the way to Edwardsville every weekend. But it did get to a point where it was like, shit, I don't even remember. It might have happened pretty quickly that it was every weekend. And I can't believe I did that for so long, because, shit, for probably like the first 2 years, like, we were doing it in Edwardsville, and I would drive to fucking Edwardsville. I would load up all that gear, and then I would take it to Edwardsville. We'd go hang out. We'd go get something to eat and everything, and then I would have to set all that stuff up, and that takes a good hour, man, to run the the mics and all that, run the cords. And of course, I was a young man at that point. I was like 30 years old. 30, almost 31 at that point. I guess the first time we actually recorded, I was 31. We actually did record one that what didn't end up becoming an episode before that St. Pat's. It was like a week or so before. And, of course, I should mention Shelly lived above what then was the diner, Fiona's, which had awesome gyros. And we would record above there. And it was, oh, man, that was some fun times. Some fun times. Miss those days above Fiona's. I just miss being young, really. And I had all the energy to be able to do, you know, drive up there, unpack all that shit, fucking record. Then I'd have to pack that shit all up again and, you know, drive home. But I would usually wait until, like, the next day to drive home. Usually. Sometimes I would just fucking drive home afterwards. I don't know. It was fucking, we're talking like 11, 12 years ago at this point. But anyway, the first time we were recorded, we were just trying to get comfy. I wanted to make sure that I could, the recording sounded, you know, halfway decent. That apartment he had wasn't like the best recording environment. Like, the way it had a really tall ceiling with a weird, like, sky like light, basically. There was a window that was like just a, the sound didn't bounce around there very well. I mean, the way it bounced, it was just really easy to get like echoes and shit in there. It was rough. I mean, those early recordings are, I mean, you can listen to them. Feel free. We had a lot of energy in those early episodes, man. We were having a lot of fun at that point. It was fucking exciting. And, you know, at that point we thought, well, hey, we might make some money doing this at some point and actually get paid and quit our day jobs. That didn't happen. but we were having a lot of fun doing it. To this day, I've never made any money off this podcast. But, we had a lot of fun those early days. And that initial recording we had, I do still have it, I believe. But it was just the two of us, and we were just trying to get comfortable, like, talking on the mics, having a conversation. And then, of course, the first episode, the very first, with Mark Bing, where Mark... Anytime we say Mark Payne, I'd play the Freddy drop where it just says, bitch. Which I probably have on here somewhere. I got the bitch's lead from RoboCop. That was back when I would play a soundboard. Oh, here we go. This is, I got to say it. Mark Payne. Oh, fucking
bitch.
Yeah. My laptop's not working so well right now. Anyway. Yeah. When we first did the show, I had like cut all kinds of clips from movies, and I would just nonstop put those drops in there. It was like overkill. Is either I was putting too many drops in there, or, you know, just like I just wouldn't use them at all. And I find it's just better just to not use them at all than just keep playing like. Anyway, the original thought was, though, I wanted to make more fake commercials and, have that going on. But then it just like add it to like, we might as well have like a podcast that goes along and we could just have it part of that. And ended up being, I ended up just working on doing the podcast and then, you know, having to do that, edit it down. Not that I do a whole lot of editing. Almost zero editing, but I'll kind of listen back to the podcast the next day because I don't fucking remember what the fuck I talked about. And then I'll post it on the internet. But the work, especially early days with having to drive up there, set up the gear, and then record it, you know. And we would kind of talk about stuff beforehand. We wouldn't really do much show prep before. Mainly it was just hanging out beforehand. We had quite a few guests early on, which made it a lot easier to have shit to talk about. As to how I do it now, which is, I don't know how I managed to talk for an hour. I don't know how I ever got to that point. Definitely by when we started doing this podcast, there's no fucking way I could have done that. But yeah, my thought was like to create more things. And then Trebejo, when he started coming on, which was like episode 17 or so, it was like the Barry O, I think might have been his first episode, where I did a terrible Barack Hussein Obama impression. Barry O. Oh, Barry O. I think I said in that episode that Joe Biden, he's a fan of the Golden Showers. I think it was one of the lines I had. But Trebejo, when he used to come on, I mean, we had some fun times with Trebejo, but like Trebejo and I did the bit, the most involved like audio bit that I ended up doing was the Leave It to Gene, which I don't think I have in this program, unfortunately. I don't think I have. Oh, actually, I do. It lasts a couple minutes. I have it on, you know what? I have it on the website. If you go to slapboxpodcast.com, you can find it on there. Cheesehead Carving is the name of the episode. It's the only Leave It to Gene on there. We also have our adult pet finder commercial we made, but I did very little of like audio stuff, commercials and stuff like that for the show. I used to have so much fun doing that, and I thought that's really what the show should be. I mean, I was good at doing it. I just didn't end up doing that much. But yeah, those fucking, man, those first couple of years. I mean, it was so exciting. We had the band Lie on, L-Y-E. Pretty sure they're not together anymore. But those guys were super cool to hang out with. And I feel like now I would have talked to them better. And like at the time was mainly like, yeah, this is what we did. You know, I'm just like, I don't know. I was just trying to have like a conversation, like not focusing on any. I would have done some more research maybe now. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like nowadays I don't do any research, but I'm older, not necessarily wiser now. But we had, that was basically the genesis of this show 12 years ago. And it's morphed into just me and a mic. And the tagline really held up in the early days of the Often Vulgar. or always explicit, often vulgar, sometimes funny. You would think I would fucking remember this tagline. But yeah, we had a lot of often vulgar stuff in the early days. And the Bristol stool chart was one of our favorite things to talk about. Like, you know, how healthy is your shit? It's a good, important thing to know. Very important thing to know. And then, yeah, trying to wrap this up, like there's just that a lot has happened in 12 years. You know, and there's, I mean, there's so many guests. And one of the exciting things, of course, we did early on was meet Mark Ping, bitch, new, had a gay friend, Danny, because, like Shelly and I at that point, like, we had known some gay people. We hadn't really had, like, gay guys. I mean, I knew more gay women than, or lesbian, than I did any gay guys. And we really wanted to, I thought, like, I don't remember if it was that first episode or, because I feel like the fourth episode is when we met Danny. We were saying we wanted to actually go meet some, like, transvestites is what we really wanted to do, because we were, like, interested in going to a drag show. Which, oh, man, I should be careful. And that shit's pretty much outlawed around here in these parts. That's a no-go. I mean, I'm not quite in Florida, but might as well be. But, yeah, we wanted to do... go to a drag show. We thought it'd be fucking cool, and we wanted to talk to a transvestite. And according to Mark, Danny was not a transvestite. Danny's super fucking cool though, and we had never talked so explicitly to a gay guy before. Like, we had known gay guys, but we weren't like really close friends with any gay guys before, like Danny. And so, we talked about. I remember asking him if he had ever gotten his asshole ripped when he, like, getting fucked and stuff, you know? And I'm pretty sure the answer was yes. Like, when we recorded with him, we talked for him so long. It was like 3 hours, and I cut it up into two pieces in like two episodes. That seemed a lot, especially for the shit we were talking about. For two episodes, we talked about sounding and everything, which Danny might have taught us about that, or we might have heard about that beforehand, but we had asked him if he had done sounding where you stick different things inside the pee hole. And I'm pretty sure he hadn't. I don't know. It was years ago. I haven't seen Danny in years now, but we ended up, Danny took me to a gay bar on the first anniversary of the show or second anniversary. It was on St. Pat's or around St. Pat's. And I know it was like my birthday. And we went to JJ's across the street from IKEA there in St. Louis under the bridge, which I'm sure is what the Chili Peppers were singing about. That song Under the Bridge, it's about JJ's, right? But we had so much fun at the gay bar. And it was like all dudes, except for Shelly's ex, Leslie, that had come with us. She was like the only, I think, actual female there. I mean, it was a sausage party and then some. And I remember there being, I'm pretty sure, one of the teachers I had from the broadcast center there. Maybe I shouldn't say his name, because, I mean, he was a local radio guy, but, like, almost said it. at the time, he worked for a Mormon radio station. I'm pretty sure it was him. I wasn't sure, because it had been, like, more than a year since I had seen the guy. I was like, I felt pretty confident we had sat at this table, and I didn't tell anybody we were with until, like, later on after we left. It was like, man, that was really a uncomfortable part of being there, because I don't think it was open about being I'm assuming, you know, hell, I don't know that he was gay. I'm not gay, nor was I then. I'm kind of gay right up until the sex, and then I'm kind of like, nah, I'm out. I'll do some sketchy shit. I can go pretty far in a game of gay chicken, but start sucking a cock and I'm like, oh yeah, hey, you win. I did not speak to the guy that I thought was my former teacher. But to be fair though, I mean, I didn't have him as a teacher that much, and like, it wasn't like one of my favorite teachers either. I just didn't really know him that well, to be honest. But it was like, I didn't know what to say. Of like, well, this is awkward. Like, my buddy Pee-wee's asking me, about the casino later. I gotta, I'm gonna ask him about that. I gotta think about that for a second here. This is 1 second. Yeah. So maybe, I was gonna message him after doing this show, but, his older son, Jace, his birthday is 2 days after mine, so they're having mother's house. They're having a party for him today, all right. So I figured out the casino situation. Looks like I'm gonna be meeting my buddy Pee-wee up there, and John. Hello, friend John, Mr. John Gale, is will not be joining us. Yeah, I'm going to have some fun. And looking forward to that action. I lost track of where I was talking in the history of the show. As mentioned, Trebejo being on there, the Barrio. And basically the early days. It wasn't too many years in. Because, like, initially we just recorded in Edwardsville. But when I started really doing, like, the week, when, my memory of, I mean, this is a long time ago. But initially, of course, I think I was only driving over there every other week. And it didn't take long for me to record one episode in Washington at the Slapbox Bunker, the original home of the show, sort of. But I guess the apartment above Fiona's was the original home, if I were to tell the truth. I don't think we ever had a name for that. We started doing, like, one show in Washington, one show in Edwardsville. And sometimes Shelley would come out to the one at the bunker. And we would do a lot of phone-in interviews. Or, well, I'd call them up instead of having to actually drive out there. So there was shows like that. It made it a lot easier than to drive out there or have one of us drive. And then eventually we moved into the Muffin Hut, and that was the home for quite a while of the podcast. Once Shelley had moved out of that apartment there above Fiona's, that basically was the end of the show recording in Edwardsville. We did, I think, only one other show in Edwardsville that wasn't in that apartment. It was at a party at a house that Shelley lived in for a while with a bunch of other people. And that was when we met Feener, the late, great Feener. I think I'm trying to see. I have somewhere a clip of Feener. That's a long one. It's the one where he's talking about going down that road. I guess I don't have one pulled up where it's a smaller clip. But Feener was, like, our biggest fan and also was on the show a lot. Anyway, it was quite the times. But we recorded at the Muffin Hut. At the Muffin Man's place for shit. I don't know. I don't remember what year started going down there. But I drove over. It was over in Union. Much, much shorter drive for me. And I just kept my stuff set up there at all times. When I did it at the bunker, even when I had stuff at the bunker and recorded a lot there, I never had it really kept it completely set up because it was the bedroom in which I lived in. There wasn't a whole lot of room in there. I couldn't just, like, leave everything set up. I left some things kind of set up. But to record in there, I mean, especially having guests in there, I'd have to run mics and stuff, and it was still awkward. When at the Muffin Hut, he had enough space there where I could leave shit set up and then just come over once a week and record, much like what I do now at the penthouse. We had some, like, classic times, though, at the Muffin Hut. I'll play a little bit of this Feener clip because I feel like I got to play a little bit of some Feener action. Here we go. If it'll fucking play. Maybe it will.
All right, so, I go up to the bar, and,
there you go.
There's this couple up there that usually comes up there, and, they're like, hey, do you smoke crack? And I'm like, well, you know,
you did tell this story on the podcast, I believe.
Well, this kind of sounds different.
Is it different?
Hold on, be quiet. Go ahead, Feener. Right. Go ahead.
So anyway, asked me if I smoked crack, and I was like, yeah, tonight I do. So, you know, next thing I know, we're in the bathroom at this bar, and, you know, we're sitting there smoking the crack, and she whispers something in the guy's ear. Well, he looks at me and he's like, hey, my girlfriend wants to fuck you, you know. And she was like, she wasn't wearing a bra, she wasn't wearing any panties, you know. She was like 49 years old. She had a body like a 28-year-old. I see you not.
She had a crack whore body.
After you smoke a bunch of crack.
She's one of those girls that's run around in the skinny jeans, and then you look at the face and it's like, ooh.
I've been down that road. We don't go down that road.
Right? Nobody goes down that road.
Wait, hey, everybody be quiet. This is getting good. Fiener, continue your story.
What?
Continue your story. Everybody else be quiet.
Oh, so anyway, it's like you know, we go outside and we're sitting there, and the dude's basically like fingering her in the fucking, like, at the table, like outside of this bar.
Yeah.
And she's all getting into it. She's like, we gotta go to the car. We gotta go to the car. So we go out to the car. He literally sat there, watched me fucking basically eat his girlfriend out, fuck her, while he sat there and smoked crack and watched me do it.
He didn't jerk off or anything, or
can you elaborate a little bit more?
No, get into it.
Did he give you any type of, like, you know, reassurance? Like,
AIDS?
Hey, you're doing a good job, buddy. You know, that's the way
did,
she likes.
Did you wear a condom, Fiener?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good.
I wore a condom.
Did you do her in the butt?
Yes, I wore a condom.
Oh, did you fuck her
in
the
butt?
What?
Did you do her in the butt?
No, I didn't do her up the butt, dude.
What is that, gay or something?
who would do that? Who would do such a thing? Come
nobody
on.
Involved in
now,
the show.
Now, did she have a big vagina, or was
right
it tight?
There, her boyfriend was sitting right there. I wasn't going to disrespect him, you know?
Well, how would you be disrespecting him?
Was he shooting you like death looks? Like what?
Like,
I mean, did he tell
only
you? Like,
fuck her vagina. You better not fuck her in the ass.
The ass is mine. Like what is the?
You better make her come.
So was it? Did she have a tight vagina, or was it big?
Dude.
Did she have a big vagina?
Yeah, it was an itty bitty.
It wasn't cavernous. It was snug. Nice and snug,
dude,
like a glove.
It wasn't like the Grand Canyon or anything like that. I mean, it was kind of like the...
I thought you were in a relationship.
What?
Well, you just compared the Grand Canyon, and then, like, it wasn't like that. It was more like the Hoover Dam, which, granted, maybe not the size of the Grand Canyon, but still very large.
I gotta tell, fuck, Jesus.
Well, it's on the internet now, so whoever decides to listen will know, so.
Yeah.
I hope you feel better.
You guys are not gonna edit any of this shit out, are you?
No.
What's editing?
We really should get rid of the bar name, to be honest.
I just know how to hit record, stop, and then...
Yeah. I did not mean to say that at all. Sorry.
So, you ate her out. Did she suck you off?
What?
Did she suck your dick?
No, she didn't suck my dick. I just went down her.
Did she eat your asshole out?
No, she did not.
What did her pussy taste like? Was that good?
Wasn't bad.
Did she, like, look over at her boyfriend at times to kind of give the, like, see if the things were okay, or...
That was the fucked up thing about it, because the entire time I'm sitting fucking his girlfriend, I'm like, I got him in my peripheral, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In my left peripheral, because she's just sitting there smoking the crack looking at me, you know what I mean? And I thought he should have, like, stabbed me in the neck and take all my, because all I had was change on me. I didn't have $1.
Well, you would have been very upset if he stabbed you in the neck.
I'm sitting there drinking, you know, I got all these quarters on me, and I'm sitting there going, is this dude going to stab me in the neck and take all my quarters and all that shit? Well, I'm sitting here banging this fucking girlfriend in the parking lot.
So, did you have any second thoughts after the crack wore off?
Yeah, I think you were just telling the story off the air, when I heard this.
The next day, I swear to God, the next day, I felt so fucking, like, dirty and just like, ugh, you know what I mean?
Did you disinfect your dick or anything? Like, bleach it, or?
What?
Did you have to disinfect your dick?
Like, at first, she was stroking me off, and then I started just banging her.
No, I'm saying the next day, did you do anything to disinfect your dick? Like bleach
oh, I
it or
peroxide on it, yeah.
That's gonna help.
more of a home remedy type thing. Than, yeah.
Remember that back in the
if it
day,
burns, it works.
About the, what was it? The book of home remedies and shit.
Hey, I actually found a good home remedy out of one of those big books. Like, my mom had one, and it was a sunburn deal. I learned that if you fill a bathtub up with cold water and you pour in a cup of vinegar, it's basically douche water. Well, you lay in that, if you're severe sunburn, man, it takes the burn away. You smell like a douche,
really?
But...
Fainter, you're not allowed to sit on any of my furniture anymore if you come down again.
What'd you say, Muffin Man?
I said you're not allowed to sit on my furniture anymore.
He used peroxide. I don't know if you caught that.
Hey,
but...
we all got to go down that road at one point in our lives.
No, we don't.
Fucking crack horse.
I can truthfully say I've never smoked crack and then fucked somebody's girlfriend in their vehicle.
As they were also smoking crack.
I can honestly say to this day, that I don't remember what year that was exactly. That was a couple of years into the show. But I can say, still, I have not gone down that road. I have not fucked a crack whore in front of her crack whore or boyfriend. Not something I participated in. I felt, you know, after Fiener passed in 2020, he died during the height of the pandemic. Unrelated to COVID, he got hit by a car. I don't know any of the circumstances other than that. Somebody hit him with a car. I don't know if it was intentional, what the deal, or not, or, you know, I don't know. Were they drunk? Was Fiener drunk out in the middle of the road? I have no fucking clue. Yeah, I've not... jokingly, I think Muffin Man and Wolf that I said when he passed, like, we should fuck a crack whore. In Fiener's honor, and go down that road, but yeah, we never did that. It was never a thing. But yeah, we used to have Fiener on a lot, and he was. I mean, that was a big part of the show. Yeah, it sucks, but no longer amongst the living. We had quite a few people on the show. The pandemic is what really. Was a big turning point for the show. I mean, it used to go over to the Muffin Hut a lot, and it was just the Muffin Man and I for a lot of them, even though I know that he didn't really want to do a lot of them. I think he just liked hanging out with me. But I would go over there. And, you know, a lot of times it was like me talking and him just staring at me. And clearly he didn't want to be a part of it. Although times he was, you know, we had a lot of fun and he was excited for it, but I mean, I would just go over to the hangout, and this just became what I do. You know, I've thought about quitting several times, stop doing this, especially since doing this on my own, just like me and a mic and maybe the cat. like I really thought, well, maybe I should make this anniversary the last one, but, I don't see myself ending it. It's just, I mean, it's what I fucking do at this point. It's, you know, I guess at some point I'll probably stop doing it, but I don't know when that will be. As, I almost feel like this is almost a therapy session for myself to get stuff out there. And I don't go out much, so. But I'm going to the casino later. Going to the casino later. Going to go hit up the Ameristar. I messaged Shelly saying that, you know, it's been 12 years, and then I was listening, playing the clip of the going down that road. He put, nobody goes down that road. Nobody goes down that road. Fiener went down that road. I can't imagine, like, being able to perform. I mean, I don't know if crack is a performance enhancer or not. Maybe it is. Maybe you get your cock more hard. Which you would think that would be more of a selling factor. I don't know that crack needs more of a selling factor. I don't think there's anything that needs... You know, we need to go on a PR campaign for crack. But, that could be, you know, another selling point to start a habit that will fucking destroy your brain and, like, kill you, basically. You know, it makes your cock rock hard. I don't know if that does. My point I was getting to... I would have performance issues if I was fucking somebody's girlfriend right in front of them and they were staring at me while smoking crack. I'm going to have a hard time keeping hard. It's going to be like, I mean, if I'm fucking a cavernous vagine, I mean, even if it was like the tightest vagine and stuff, and I'm in there and it's feeling good, if I got some dude just staring at me the whole time smoking crack... Dude, it's going to be... I need to be really feeling it, you know? And that's going to take me out of the game completely. I'm going to need to, like, pound a couple Viagra. I've never taken Viagra, but I'm thinking I'm going to need to take a few of those if I'm going to get through that situation. I'm going to have to smash it up and snort it. Fuck crack. I'm going to be in there with, like, Viagra, like... If I gun to the head, you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to, like, fuck somebody like that. I mean, I haven't been put in that position, so I can't truly say that I couldn't. I would venture to guess, knowing how shit can just get in my head and fuck it all up for me anyway, that would totally fuck with me, and there would be performance issues. There would be some major performance issues. I almost commend Fiener for being able to just muscle through that, if you will, and just plow on ahead. I love how he was like, I don't want to disrespect the man by fucking his girl in the ass. Like, that's the disrespect. Dude, smoking crack, watching you fuck his girlfriend, you're like... Oh, I don't want to disrespect. It seems disrespectful if I fuck her in the ass right now. Like, that's the no-go zone. That's the brown line. You don't want to cross the brown line. That's... I haven't listened to that clip in quite some time. It still holds up. It's still a fantastic clip. And, I feel okay with how I responded to it then. Like, I maybe would have interjected, like, the performance issues. Like, I feel like at the... Oh, and that clip doesn't have it in there. I should mention in that story. Later in that episode, he mentions the fact that she had MS. And I don't know why he... And, like, because we were talking so much shit on this girl and that she was a crack whore and everything. I felt no sympathy for this woman whatsoever. But then he mentioned that she had MS, and it was like, man, I really felt legitimately bad for her. Like, there was some compassion there. Like, oh, man, you know, maybe she's a crack whore for a reason. And then I was like, man, she's got MS, she's smoking crack, and she's fucking Fiener. I mean, this is a rough life. Love Fiener, though. It just seemed like... anyway, yeah, but I kind of felt bad for, like, talking shit on her, like, in the earlier in the episode, but I mean, I didn't know the woman. The whole situation, I'm definitely not going down that road. I mean, didn't maybe, like, well, maybe I could fuck her in front of her boyfriend. This is so fucking big. No, I never felt that way. Never felt that way. And, yeah, also, I guess during the history of the show was when I, started traveling the world, if you will. I went to Russia. That started it all. I got food poisoning while there and shit the bed, literally shit the bed. That trip did not go as planned. And I should mention, this is fucked up, but, you know, kind of fucked up for me to think, but, like, since going there, like, I rode the metro on that first trip, and one of the trains that I had taken was actually hit by a bomb at one point. And the airport that I flew into, Pulkovo Airport there in St. Petersburg, was just like a week ago, like, hit with a drone. One of the hangars. was apparently hit by a drone and blew up. Anyway, yeah, there's still war raging on over there in Ukraine, and now, you know, it's gotten its way into Russia. And it sucks, you know. That's war's not fucking cool, and, you know, that, of course, there's war in Gaza, but that's completely unrelated to this show. I just brought it up simply because it's fucking crazy to think, you know, I met some cool people in Russia, I've known some cool Russians and stuff, and that I'm pretty sure wouldn't be for, like, the war in Ukraine and everything, and to know that, you know, regular civilians that have done nothing on both sides, you know, I mean, Ukrainians in general, I mean, they had nothing to do with the start of this war. They were invaded by Russia, and it's fucking awful. But I mean, there's innocent civilians on, you know, the Russian side as well, as this is Putin's war. And I mean, it sucks knowing that possibly people I met and knew could have been killed or hurt, you know, from it. And like, that's kind of fucked up. And knowing, like, that I went to that airport, I wasn't at that hangar, but the airport that I flew into, like, was attacked, and it's just seeing that stuff is just fucking, it makes it more personal, you know. And yeah, not cool. But anyway, like, that trip to Russia, which did not end well. It didn't start well. It didn't. I guess I made it back alive, so, you know, it was a lot better. That was a crazy experience because, you know, went there to meet up with a woman, and that didn't end up working out. She's a really cool person, though. She's a photographer now in Kuwait. I think she's married now. Not to me. That didn't work out. Yeah, she's a photographer, and she lives mainly in Kuwait. She's been going back and forth from Kuwait to Russia. It was actually, I believe, might have been at the airport there in Pulkovo around the time that drone hit. But anyway, yeah, that led me to just, like, traveling the world. And, of course, it gave me shit to talk about on the podcast as I went to Ireland next. And, of course, every time I would travel overseas, we would play Will Roulette. Like, the first year I went to Russia, it didn't occur to me to have, like, a roulette to make out my will. We played, like, craps. It was, like, craps or Yahtzee. I guess it was, like, Yahtzee, essentially. We had, like, I want to say we were playing a dice game to, like, decide who was going to get my shit. I have a lot better shit now, man. They'd be winning. Like, if I did that today, I think people would be way more excited. They'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm getting a townhouse. I'm getting a Gibson. There'd be way more exciting things, and I have a better car now. I mean, I feel like it'd be way more exciting to win my shit now. Anyway, like, we would will one of the items, of course, was to be the new host of the Slapbox podcast. I don't know if that surprised so much as more like, this is your duty. But after, because there was, what, six years in a row where I traveled to Europe, and each time we would do a roulette. Of course, the first year we didn't do roulette, but then it occurred to me, or somebody, I guess it was me, I don't know who it occurred to, but we need to have Will Roulette, where we took a cap gun, the revolver cap gun, and then would just put a couple of caps in there and then spin the barrel and see who would win that. And and then we would make out who would get my shit, basically, when I died. In the case that I died while I was in Europe or going to Europe. And that was always fun episodes. Except the last couple, it just didn't have quite the feel. I feel like if we did it again now, like, of course, it would require to have more people than just me and the cat here. I guess now I just will everything to the cat. He seems pretty content right now. He's just laying there peacefully, sleeping. Anyway, yeah, that shit was always fun doing that. And Like, one of the best was, like, Trebejo and the Dr. H. Greenlee had made a trade. At the time, I had the Ford Focus, and Trebejo had won that via the will. And we were, at that time, we were allowing trades. I think at that moment, we might have said, you know what, trades, we can do trades. And there was a trade for the Ford Focus for the N64. I think the only time a car has been traded, maybe I'm wrong on this, the only time in history possibly that a car, a running licensed car, was traded for a Nintendo 64. Nintendo 64 is pretty awesome. Don't know that it's worth it quite as much as a running car that was licensed. At the time, the transmission was good. It hadn't gone out yet. It was, it had several years more of service for me after that point. I was terrible at taking care of it at that point, though, because I'd already paid for it. But if, had they taken it, they may have taken better care of it. Either way, I lived. I kept the car. Ended up getting a Mini Cooper, which has a higher resale value. I'm currently taking care of it. Would be a hot, more of a hot ticket item, I would think, for Wheel Roulette. The Wheel Roulette, though, when we started doing that, the first couple ones were pretty fun. And I should mention, traveling overseas was pretty fucking exciting. And I kind of, part of it kept, was kind of doing it just so I'd have shit to talk about on the podcast, but really having a fucking trip overseas and just a vacation completely away from everything, all of my fucking problems, basically, my worldly problems, and completely getting away from work, man, just being able to just fucking go by myself and fucking do whatever the fuck I wanted was pretty fucking awesome. I miss doing that and just being a stranger in a strange land where everything's fucking new is an excitement that I really miss. But I feel like I wouldn't have even attempted that. I mean, I might have attempted that even without the show, but I mean, doing the show and like just experiencing new things, like going to the gay bar and stuff. I don't know that I would have been inclined to do so had we not met Danny and had the experience of just hanging out with him and having a very in-depth, a very deep, if you will, conversation about all those things. And I mean, it really gave me the reason to explore things that I was either just hadn't really thought of, or I was just like too afraid to do. It was like, this is, we got to do it, you know, this has to, when it was like, let's do this and this will give us some fucking content essentially, even though I never got paid for it. But I mean, it definitely, I mean, those trips and stuff, I mean, yeah, I mean, that cost a lot to go do that. I still have, you know, some debt from that. But I mean, those experiences were fantastic. I mean, I've been to Ireland 3 fucking times, and I went to Russia twice, you know, and now it's almost impossible for Americans to go to Russia. And I mean, it's turning into a totally different place as Putin, you know, puts more of an iron grip on Russia, and there's just, on almost a daily basis, you know, the Russians are losing more and more freedom. So, I mean, it was a different world. And it's just like, I feel like traveling there, I hit it just the right time. I mean, possibly might have been better had I gone a few years earlier, because I went there with that first trip when I went there. I mean, it's just like shit was not going out right. I don't know how I managed to like convince myself I need to keep doing this and traveling. But within days of me leaving, Putin invades Crimea, and then the night before the flight, my first ever flight overseas, only the second time I ever took a flight anywhere, and the first time I did was before 9/11, so there was a big gap in time there, and so we're looking at like 13 years later. Because it was like not too long before 9/11, probably like 14 years in between those flights. And my first flight was like to South Carolina. There was several layovers, but there were several small flights, you know, or one layover. I had right the night before getting on the flight to go overseas, which there was a ton of layovers for that first Russia flight. There was way too many layovers. It's like 3 or 4 fucking layovers. The right night before that was the flight MH317 or whatever it was, the Malaysian airline flight. I want to say it's MH317. I could be wrong on the number. But the one Malaysian Airlines flight, not the one that was shot down over Ukraine, but the one that just completely disappeared and that they found some parts of it now. I think they've proved that they've found some of the parts now. They still don't know exactly what the fuck happened. They have a general idea of where it probably is at this point. They're not doing any, like, the Malaysian government has no interest in doing any actual more searching, from what I understand. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But yeah, that happened the night before I got on my first flight overseas. Holy shit. I think this, you know, maybe it wasn't so much food poisoning, it was just like fucking anxiety and everything that had just torn up my stomach at that point. I'm not sure. Or maybe that just helped with the food poisoning. Whatever it was, man, I watched for the show. We go like, you know, we got to watch Castaway so I know what to do if the plane goes down. So I got Castaway stuck in my head. And then all I'm seeing it at the airports on the news is this missing fucking plane, this massive plane that's flying overseas. It's fucking gone. No one knows what happened to it. And the country I'm going to, Russia, has invaded another country. And, you know, the relations between Russia and America are already starting to not look so great. This is 10 years before his full-on invasion of Ukraine, but, you know, it was just, like, the craziest shit, like, happening leading up to that trip, and it was just, like, I was just so miserable during the trip, man. Like, I didn't even want to leave the hotel. I forced myself to, like, leave the hotel and stuff and go do a little bit of something, but it was, like, I just wanted to fucking... just wanted to roll over and die. And really, I just wanted to, like, you know, lay in my own bed and fucking... but, like, it was... I didn't start feeling better, really, until I got back on U.S. soil. And it was, like, slowly starting to get better. That was... and for somehow, I was like, you know what? We're gonna keep traveling. It was still... even though it was, like, I was just... felt like dying, and like dying sound like, you know, that sounds pretty good right now if I could just roll over and die. Like, it was so brutal, so brutally sick that it's just, and I shit the bed, you know, which I've told that story. If you look up, search the podcast, like Russia, like on our website, you'll find like the episode where, which I'm not like the initial time, like I went, my telling of it, I was just so dead tired by the time I did the podcast that really, if I go back and listen to that one, like, I am just so dead tired. I can hear it. And I'm just so uninterested in recording. But that became like my biggest story to tell of all time. You know, the trip was like the worst trip you could ever have for like a vacation, you know, minus, you know, dying or getting like seriously injured or anything. I mean, of course, there's worse trips. I mean... and I didn't have it as bad as, say, the people on the Malaysian Airlines flight. I mean, they had it much worse, I would imagine. They fucking died. You know, my country wasn't invaded. I wasn't, you know, living in Ukraine. I mean, there's worse things that can happen to people in that week in particular. the way I see it, I was, you know, I was pretty excited, though, to actually be in, like, Russia and everything, where they filmed Goldeneye, the James Bond movie. I fucking realized that as I was walking down the streets. I didn't think about it beforehand. I was like, holy shit. And like, ding, 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 ding. Like, I had the theme, like, going through my head and everything, even though I'm like, I feel like dying. So, like, I mean, even though, like, I was deathly ill, my Russian was terrible. Not that it's great now. The second time I went, I actually bothered to learn more Russian. And I haven't practiced it in a long time, so fucking, yeah. Я немного понимаю по-русски, which is basically all I remember, which means I understand a little Russian. but, yeah, the, the last time I was much better prepared, and it was a lot cooler trip. But somehow, I guess there was still that excitement there, and it did make me want to travel overseas again. And I had already gotten into running before that trip because I was like, you know, before I travel overseas, I'd put on a bunch of weight, especially in the early days of the show. And I was like, that's when I got into running, and I had decided to run my first marathon, which was only a few months, I guess, after I traveled to Russia. It was more than a few months. It was 7 months after, because when I was really hardcore into running, I got really annoying about talking. That was all I was doing, so that's all I could really talk about. I know, I got a lot of shit for it, and it was called gay all the time. But, and I was like, why is gay such a problem, you know? Early in the show, like, gone to gay bars and stuff. Like, I didn't see what, and then, like, why does running make me gay? Anyway, they gave me a lot of shit for it, for running. And even though I know plenty of heterosexual males that run. Either way, it was, the trip after, it was an excuse for me to use. I ran a marathon in Ireland. And, I mean, those trips overseas were just fun. Minus maybe, you know, the majority of that first trip. I had gotten the bug. Not just the stomach bug, but I had gotten the bug for, like, traveling at that point. And then, it was just like Ireland. I wanted a place, you know, what would be a really cool place to run a race? And Ireland, I mean, being born on St. Pat's and just knowing how just beautiful Ireland was just from pictures and stuff, barely knowing any Irish history, but I'd known a little bit about Ireland, you know, and then I know a lot about it now. I like to think I've got quite a knowledge of Ireland now after traveling there. I wanted to know more and more. But, of course, went to Germany and Austria on a trip. And and then the pandemic hit. And then that fucked everything else up. Of course, you know, I lived in Jackman's basement at the time I was traveling there. It was a lot easier for me to afford traveling overseas. And then, I mean, just so much is transpired since starting the show, and then but the show changed dramatically, of course, when the pandemic hit, and that was when it basically became just me on the microphone. I quit going over to the Muffin Man's, you know, we were supposed to social distance and everything, and then I quit going over to the Muffin Man's, and then eventually he got a serious girlfriend, and then that was basically the end of going over there to do a show. Whereas, I think I went a couple of times during the pandemic over to the Muffin Hut and did it. But then as soon as I bought this place, bought the Slapbox Penthouse, which I've had since 2021, May of 21, I believe. I'm coming up to 3 years living here. And it has been it's the forever home. You know, things happen. Maybe at some point I'll have to move out or something. Something will happen. But for the most part, it seems like this is the forever home. And that this is where it shall remain. We had some good times through the years. As I've gone on pretty long on this one. Just kind of going through memory lane. Going back through the origin, the start of the show, as best I can remember. I'm sure I went through the early years. I'm sure I went more in depth on the start of it. I know the other Slapiversaries, and I've gone probably more in depth than me, or maybe less in depth. Hell, I don't know. I've told it, the story, I'm sure, different through the years. But yeah, we'll see how long, I don't know how long this is going to go on. Maybe this will go on another decade or shit, you know, something's going to happen next week and be like, you know what? I'm done. Probably, I would see it happening if I'm probably alive for another 10 years. Then, yeah, it'll this is probably going to end up, I'm probably going to end up talking to this microphone until the day I die. Although, I mean, the microphone has changed a couple of times. I got a different microphone. I've changed rooms in the penthouse and whatnot, but yeah, I think we're good here. As always, well, you know, before I get to that, I mean, it's, yeah, I just... it's hard to close out this one. I mean, it's talking about, like, how long we've been doing this, but I say we, and it's just me at this point. But it's been going, you know, there's been a lot of people that have been involved in doing this show, and had a lot of fun with them. And it'd be great if, you know, at some point ends up coming more of a group effort again. But that would require me to actually, like, get out and, like, convince other people to join me. And it's nowadays, it's just something I do. Whereas in, you know, the early days, I was excited about it. And, you know, with Evan Shelley there all the time as co-host and everything, he was excited about it. And we were just like, yeah, you got to come on the show. Everybody come on the show. And yeah, there's just, as just something I just do. I'm not like, hey, come on the show. Is at some point I'll probably have Jimmy Cro-Magnon like do a call in or something, but old buddy that he was on the show in the Muffin Hut days. You know, I work with him again, and but he's got a lot going on. You know, I feel weird going like, hey, let's call in, but yeah, as always, yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this up. As always, that is Ken Wheelchair, not a trash can.